Folks, I want you to turn and look at all those children going out of this place today. We are so blessed. And you know, a person can easily get caught up in the comments that were made this morning and think, oh, our poor children. But I want to tell you something. A child that knows God is not in a situation to be pitied, because they are blessed. Absolutely. I thank you for that one hand clap. But I want to read a quick note. Most people probably already received it by looking at the distribution list. But for those who maybe don't have email, it's a note from our pastors from Louisiana. Hey, I spent 2 years there. I'm allowed to say that. It is a wonderful place, but I don't like the mosquitoes. They're bigger than I am. Good morning from Louisiana. We are being refreshed and renewed in this conference. We have been challenged to believe God for great things at New Life. Camp meeting was a revitalizing of our goal at New Life. We believe God is challenging us to press forward against all the power of the enemy. And since our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And since our God is with us, then what can stand against us? Folks, it was our theme for the entire camp meeting, and we need to keep that in our mind. Continue to refresh it, because I want to tell you something. Our God is for us, and there is no enemy that can stand against Him. We thank God for that. As I began to think about what the Lord would have me to bring to the church today, it kept coming up to me life, the experiences of life, the joys of life, the trials of life, the temptations of life, but life. And it actually, as I began to write this message, it actually came together quite easily. Now, you may not get anything out of this, but for that one person who may, I thank God for it. We need to realize that many times we may go to a church service and we may not walk out of there feeling like we're on cloud nine, but somebody does. God's word does not return void, and we need to remember that. And we need to thank God for every service where we hear the word of God and know that God is still in charge. I was reading an article, and it was talking about the Australian coat of arms. And it features two creatures. The emu, which is a non-flying bird, and a kangaroo. And they were chosen because of, I guess, the spirit of the Australian people. Because both these creatures possess a characteristic that they feel is possessed within the citizens of Australia. You see, both of these creatures cannot move backwards. They cannot go back. The emu has a three-toed foot that, should it try to move backwards, it will fall over. And the kangaroo cannot move backwards because of its large tail. If we who are in Christ continue to look back, we will never see where God is taking us. We will never see what God has before us. And in doing so, we're wasting valuable time. In Luke 9 and 62, we're reminded that no one putting their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Now, has anyone ever done that? Okay, two of us. There's two of us. Oh, now hands are going up. Okay, we're being honest now. You know what? It's hard not to. I'm going to tell you right now. There are times when you look back on your life, And you look in the trials and the tribulations that you're going through as a Christian, and you say, I didn't have to put up with all this when I was a heathen. You know what? You weren't a threat then. The devil left you alone because you were as lost as you could be, and you weren't a threat. But now you are. Now you serve the Most High God. So he's going to be on his job. And you can believe that he is going to make sure and torment you and try to get you to turn and look back at that other life. Try to get you to focus on the things that used to be. Folks, I want to tell you something. Used to be has no business in the Christian literature, words. Has no business at all in our vocabulary. Why? Because used to be doesn't matter. If you want to give a testimony of what used to be, then you can say, look where God has brought me. Not, I used to be this and I had so much fun. Hell, I used to be an alcoholic. And I just loved waking up broke, not knowing where I was, feeling like I was going to get sick to my stomach. I used to love that. No, I don't think so. Let's be honest about it. Nobody enjoys that. If they did, they wouldn't hang over that porcelain throne saying, dear God, help me. I'll never do this again if you'll just get me out of this. And the next night they're doing it again. I'm not trying to be vulgar. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I'm shooting from the hip today. I want you all to realize we're being honest. Let's talk about life. Let's apply God's word to our everyday life. Not just Sunday. But Brother Tim, you just don't know. You don't know the trials I've been through. God's just stopped caring about me. Things are starting to impact my daily life. Besides, God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And what's happened? Yes, he did, and no, he hasn't. He did say he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And no, he hasn't. We've got to understand that, yes, we will be caught up in the storms of life. We will struggle. We will be persecuted. And when you go to witness and tell people about God, they will persecute you. But you need to understand that is our calling. We are not here to make friends with the world, but we are here to save the world through Jesus Christ. It's easy to look at our circumstances. It's easy to recognize the situation around us and to get caught up in it. Maybe I've seen so many people who are in such physical pain. And I even say, Lord, why? Why aren't you healing them? And I have no clue the pain that they feel. But I know that they hurt. Strong people. People who are just absolutely before would never give in to pain. They press through. And all of a sudden a debilitating sickness comes on them. And they're unable to function. And you say, why, Lord? Why? And that disability becomes their life. And you go to talk to them, and that's all they can talk about. Their identity is the sickness. It's like a friend that they carry around with them. I haven't seen you in so long. Well, I've just been unable to get out of bed. I hurt so much. Well, let's pray about it. Don't touch me. It hurts too much. Well, don't you want God to touch you? I'm just having such a hard time with my faith right now. You know what? I see it. I've seen it before. I see it daily. I see people who proclaim to have the Spirit of God in them, but the situation around them has taken their faith and made it hidden by the circumstances. You notice I said it didn't diminish. It's just hidden. God gives us a measure of faith. And folks, it's enough. Now, our faith grows as we go through circumstances and we rely more and more upon God. Our faith grows. But the measure of faith he initially gives us is more than sufficient, because our God is more than sufficient. We need to understand. Our trials and our tribulations that we go through let us compare them to the struggles of a butterfly trying to come out of a cocoon. A butterfly is placed in this cocoon as a small little slimy looking worm. And they turn in, they metamorphosize into this beautiful creature of God. But as it comes time to come out of that cocoon, they struggle and they fight and they wear themselves out. And here's the part I want you to listen to. And they rest. And they regather their energy and they begin the struggle again. They start again to try and push at the edge, the sides of the cocoon, to force their way out. Just this week, I heard a lady on K-Love, a story about a lady who, she saw this in her own garden, and she saw the butterfly. It was partially emerged, but it wasn't all the way out. And it had just extinguished its energy, and it was half out and half in the cocoon, and it was resting. And she thought, you know, I can help this butterfly. And she went and she got some really small scissors, and she began to carefully cut the cocoon. And as she did, she opened it up. And the butterfly quickly walked out and fell off the perch onto the ground below. She thought that she was helping the butterfly. She thought that by taking away the struggles, by taking away the obstacles, that she was going to make the life of this butterfly better. As she watched the butterfly, she recognized that the wings were not fully matured. Something was wrong with them. They were still shriveled up. And though it tried to flap the wings, it didn't happen. And the butterfly died. She told the story to a friend, and she said, I don't understand it. I was just trying to help it. And they explained, you have to see God's hand in everything. You see, as the butterfly struggles to get out of the cocoon, it forces the circulation system of the heart to work. And that blood flow has to get to the wings. If it doesn't struggle, if it doesn't push through and occasionally rest, then the flow will never get to the wings and they will never fully mature. Her intentions were good. She wanted to prevent unnecessary struggle. But the butterfly died. We need to kind of take a look at what God does, even in our own lives, with the birth of a child. You take a newborn, and it comes out of that nice, warm, dark place to this bright, loud, cold place, and the child cries. Why? Because it's clearing that respiratory system. You don't think that God looked down and went, oh, that's cool, that works, huh? No. God knew exactly what he was doing. So we need to understand the struggles that we go through. are not always bad. The trials, the tribulations we go through are not bad. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think for a moment that Job, when everything was happening to him and all of his friends were putting him down, I don't think for a moment he went, "Woo, howdy, boy, I'm glad God's putting this on me." Didn't happen. He was not pleased. But he kept his faith. He kept his faith in God. He never gave up. And those wonderful, compassionate friends. Well, how would you like to have three like that? You did it. It's your fault. You must have sinned. But who came back with their tail between their legs? God used Job to pray for his three friends for their forgiveness. And that wonderful wife just cursed God and die. What a support system that was. But you know what? Sometimes, again, the storms around us of seeing that loved one struggle, to see that one hurting and in pain, sometimes even our judgment gets a little blurred. As I said, I can't tell you how many times I've said, "Lord, why? Why did you not heal that man? That was a God-fearing man. He served you. Why didn't you heal him?" I'll never know on this side. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to have Micaiah, our sound man, over at the house, and we did some blacksmithing, a little hobby I like to do. And I began to show him different techniques and different methods that you can use. And it began to dawn on me, and I even spoke to Micaiah about it, how it is so much like people. That it is when it is in the hottest point that it is most flexible and able to be bent to the will of God. It is when that metal, that steel, is placed in the fire and it becomes a bright orange, almost white hot, that you can take it out of the fire and it takes very little effort to form it to the impact of the hammer. Now, you can take something that is cooler and you can work it, but it requires much more effort. And even more so, you have to be cautious, because sometimes when you're not hot, when you're not going through the hottest fire, and you try to work something that is not quite ready, it breaks. It becomes brittle and it breaks. Micaiah quickly learned that the hotter you get it, the less effort was required, the more you could do with it. Folks, I want to tell you something. I have been through trials just as each and every one of us has. It is not when God is blessing me and there are no storms in my life that I say, "Oh, dear God, please stop these blessings. Quit pouring them out on me. I can't handle it." No. It's when I'm going through the fire. It's when the heat is on. It's when I feel like I can't go anymore. I say, "God, help me. What am I going to do?" It's when the bills are piling up and the money's run out. And you're saying, "Dear God, what am I going to do? I got people calling me every day." It's when the food pantry is empty and there's no money in your wallet. And you say, "Dear God, what am I going to do?" It's when we're in the storm that we grow the most. It's through prayer and fasting and calling on the name of the Lord. And we get there because we're going through the storm. Many times we focus on the storm and we forget. God did not bring this storm upon us, but He may be allowing us to go through the storm so that we can grow and mature and spread our wings, so that we will be prepared to do what He was designed for us to do. It's so often so often that we lose sight of the overall plan. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. We would have it simple. We would cut the cocoon. Lord, don't make me go through anything. Just pour a blessing out on me. Don't make me grow at all. I want to make sure when I walk through that heavenly gate that I'm still drinking milk. Don't want any meat. Might mess up my teeth. No, folks. How many times did the Lord tell you today through Ricardo, we need to be spreading the gospel. We need to be spreading the word. Well, this just hit me. We need to spread the gospel and, if necessary, use words. You know, you've heard it before, but it just came up again, so we obviously need to speak that. Live it. Live the gospel. Sometimes it's easy to only see the storms because they can be so overwhelming. They can be so intense and so frightening. And we fear for our very lives. I can remember when Jody was going through school down in Denver, Colorado, military school, and I was stationed in Rapid City, South Dakota, that I would go down and see her on weekends. And it was during the winter time, and I can remember one time in particular, the roads were clear, but you've all seen the signs. Bridges may ice before the roadways. Well, I'm driving along and everything seemed fine. And all of a sudden, I hit the bridge and the vehicle was turned sideways facing the bridge abutment, the railing. And all I could say was, God help me. Folks, I don't know how. I was straight pointing on the other side of the bridge, pointing straight down the road, and I still don't know how. It wasn't because of anything I did other than God picked that truck up, sat it straight, and put it back out on the road. I should have hit that bridge abutment. I didn't know what else to do but to call out to the name of the Lord, and He heard my prayer. He heard my cry. Folks, when we go through those moments, when we're struggling and we don't know what else to do, call out to the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Just like in Psalms that I read this morning, He'll hear our cries. He'll lift us up. Some of you may have been in the church your whole life, but until you called upon the name of the Lord, you were just as lost as any of the rest of us who have just made a mess of our lives. But you know what? God heard all of our cries because He knew where we were. When we call out to God in our most fearful moments, that's when God comes in and He calms the storms. Now here's what I want you to understand. We're not talking the storms that are going on around you. We're talking the storms inside of us. Because you see, God knows us. He knows every fiber that is in us. He counts the numbers of the hairs on our head, so I think He knows us pretty good. He knows where Tim Cooper is going to mess up today. He knows where he's going to mess up tomorrow. He knows where he's going to mess up all through eternity. And to think that He still wants me to be here, He still wants me to be one of His children. Now, you talk about His thoughts not being our thoughts. I'd have cast me to the side a long time ago. But His faith in us is so much greater than our faith in Him. So many times the storms we're in are of our own making. Even when it isn't, though, it's part of our spiritual perception as to what is going to become of that storm. If we're sitting here thinking we're in it all alone, we may fail. We may give in to those trials and temptations and start looking back, even though we've laid our hands to the plow. We may begin to look back on that old life before Christ. We need to understand, if you're going through a trial or a struggle, And you think, God is tempting me so much. You missed the mark right there. First off, God does not tempt you. He may put you in a trial to prove you, but he will not tempt you. Temptation is not of God. Get that straight right off the mark. God may test you, but here's what you need to understand. If God is testing you, he believes in you. He believes you're going to get through it because he knows you. Did I not say he already knows every fiber of your being? If he's putting you in the fire, he knows you can come through it. Folks, we need to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many times has that been brought up in the last 3 weeks? It's because it has purpose. King, our God is able to deliver us. So we're going to wait on him. That isn't how it goes. But even if he won't, we will never bow down and worship you. And what happened? He heated that furnace up, killed his men trying to get it hotter. And they cast them in the fire. And the king looked in, and what did he see? Not the three that were thrown in, but four. And the fourth was like that of the Son of God, the image of the Son of God. Folks, I want to tell you something. It wasn't like. He was there. He was there. When we go through the storm, he is there. Oh, I'll tell you, old Slewfoot, Satan, he loves to put the blinders on and just muddy up our spiritual eyes. But if we will simply call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see what good will come out of this. Help me to see the reason I have to go through this. There may be times where God will answer you with that, and there may be times where he won't. Truth of the matter is, if someone had come up to me and told me in 1993, Tim, you're going to be a preacher someday. Oh, no. I would have lived for the devil worse than I did. And folks, I'm just telling you like it is. Why? Because we run from the things we don't know. We're afraid of those things we don't know. My aunt, about 2006, I was speaking to her on the phone. And she said that when I was about 3 years old, I was at her house with my grandmother. I was at their house, and she said that they were both sitting there, and that God revealed to both of them at the same time that I was going to be a preacher. I thank God he never told them to tell me that, because I would have probably run worse than I had. But you know what? Other times I look back on my life and think, Lord, why didn't I know sooner? Because I wasn't ready. See, it's just like that little butterfly. When she cut it open, it wasn't ready to come out. God has perfect timing. I love the saying, though, today is the day of salvation. Why? Because today is the day of salvation for someone. When God puts that unction on your heart that says, you need to make it right. You need to make it right today. Then you need to do that. Because we need to understand, God knows everything. How many times have you heard the story of someone who accepted Jesus Christ? They truly got on their face and repented, and the weight was lifted off, only to leave the church. And a tragic ending came. But you know what? It wasn't a tragic ending. Because they stepped out of that body, out of that shell, over into glory. So don't believe for a second that when that unction comes on you and tells you it's time, that you should ignore it. Because we don't know when that time will be called. God will not put you or allow you to be put in a testing or a situation that you are not ready for. It won't happen. I know there are many times where I have called out to the Lord and thought, Lord, what is it that you're putting me through? Why am I going through this right now? And you wait and you don't get an answer. And then later on, maybe 6 months, maybe a year down the road, you reflect back on that and you go, oh, okay, now I see how you put all that together. And now I see why you didn't tell me. There's a story which Christian writer Tim Hansel wrote about, and it tells of an American Indian who was visiting a friend in New York City. And they're walking down the street together, and the Native American, he stopped, and he began to look around. And his friend said, what's wrong with you? He said, I hear a cricket. He said, what? He said, you must be mistaken. And he stopped. He said, no, I hear a cricket. He said, man, there's taxis honking horns. There's people yelling. You got the traffic. You've got the air blowing up out of the vents. How can you possibly hear a cricket? And he stopped and he turned his head slightly. He said, no, I'm sure of it. And he walks down the street and he crosses the road and he stands on the corner and he looks around and he's turning his head and he stops. And he walks over to a concrete planter that has a tree growing out of it. And he rustles through the leaves and he picks it up. Small black cricket. And he puts it back down. And his friend from New York City was amazed. He's like, wow, how did you do that? Cherokee man, he sat there and he said, my ears are no different from yours. It simply depends upon what you're listening to. Let me show you. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a handful of coins, quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies. And he walks over onto the concrete and he lets them drop. Immediately, within a half a block, every direction, heads turn. They're looking to where they heard that money, where they heard that coin. And he said, you see what I mean? As he began picking up the coins, he said, it all depends upon what you're listening for. We can listen and hear the winds blowing through the trees. I heard that yesterday. To me, that's the voice of God. To others, it's a tornado coming. You can see the rain on the horizon coming in the clouds. And you can think, it's a cleansing of the earth. Or you can say, my God, it's going to be a flood. We can go on and on. But what are you listening for? That's the question. When you're going through the storm, don't automatically think that it's the end of your life. Don't automatically think that it's God punishing you. It is not God. God may allow it that you can grow, that you can mature, but that you will come out the other side. Matthew 13 and 9 reminds us, Jesus said it. You who have ears, let them hear. We must have ears to hear the voice of God. We can do that in several ways. Through our prayer life, through our reading of the Word, and through our quiet time. Folks, I want to tell you something. As you can tell, and here's your chance to get even, Ricardo. I have no problem with words. I have a problem shutting them up. So when I go in and I try to spend quiet time with the Lord, you know, I have had times where I sat there and I started to, all right, Lord, I'm just gonna sit here and wait for you to talk to me. Oh, by the way, Lord, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting to hear from you. Oh, and another thing, too. And it's almost like the Lord says, boy, would you be quiet. You know what? You can't hear someone if you continue to talk. And you can't hear God's voice if you aren't tuned in listening for Him. God is with us every day in every situation. If we would just look for it, listen for it, and ask for it. Kind of goes along the line with ask, seek, and knock. When you hear the storms of life pushing in on you, the winds of care blowing through the trees, don't assume it's a tornado. Call upon the name of the Lord and thank Him for the cool breeze which you're receiving. When you find yourself in the middle of the storm, don't automatically assume it's God's doing. But realize, as I said before, you are going through it because God is with you. Folks, if nothing else, how much our Heavenly Father thinks of us, that the Creator of, not the world, but the universe, the universes, everything, cares enough to hear your cry. Just as the Native American in the story heard the cricket from a distance, our Heavenly Father hears us from heaven when we call out to Him. And sometimes it's just so that He'll calm the storm. Sometimes we want the conditions around us to disappear, and that's not always possible. But He will always calm the storm in you when you call out to Him. But you have to call out to Him. You want to see something amazing? Have a grown father whom you think is probably past the stage of running. Not exactly a habit. He's at the time 66 years old. And I was helping him move from his one house to another. And his ceiling, he had rafters up there where they had stacked stuff. And, of course, they had the fiberglass insulation in between them. And it was actually the blown insulation. And there were some boxes across there, and I was walking the beams. Now, some of you may not notice, but I'm not exactly a small guy. My foot slipped, and I went down directly through those two cross beams, the rafters. My father was upstairs, and I really feel like it was probably no more than 3 seconds after I hit the floor below me. My father was at the door to the closet I fell into, looking to make sure I was okay. Now, the amazing thing, as I said, my father was 66 at the time. He came down 2 flights of stairs and was down around the corner and in that room that quick. You're saying, what does it have to do with anything? If my earthly father cares that much about what happens to me, how much more does my heavenly father care? And all it took for me in that case was just falling through the ceiling. What an entrance or exit. But my heavenly father, all you have to do is say, Abba, God help me. That's all I could say when I was on that bridge. And at that time, it was Wyoming, in fact. I was cutting through Wyoming to go see Jody. And like I said, the vehicle turned sideways, and all I could say was, God help me. He heard my cry. To come from heaven above and to take that truck and turn it around, and I still don't know how, other than say, my Father heard my cry. Folks, when you're going through the storms, and there are many in life, and I hate to say this, but it's going to get worse. As we draw closer to the end days, and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ more, you're going to be persecuted more. But folks, great is our reward. It is worth it. It is so worth it. We've got to be like the emu and the kangaroo. We've got to move forward. We can't keep trying to go backwards. There's nothing back there for us. I sit there and I think about the disciples after Jesus died, after he was crucified. And what'd they do? Went back to the same old thing that they tried before. Really successful after that, didn't they? No. No. They fished all night and they couldn't catch anything. But what happened? Jesus showed up on the scene, ruined their fishing party, ended their trip, been there all night, not catching a thing. I know, Ricardo's thinking, I want to go fishing with him. Some of those pictures he's got, I think he has. I want to tell you something, folks. When God shows up on the scene, he'll provide for all of our needs. But I think about they went back to what they did before, and they were so unsuccessful at it. When God calls you someplace, and you try to go back to what you did before, you will fail. Why? Because God isn't in it. You saw our children of this church as they left to go to children's church. Tonight, we have our young people who are going to be having a fundraiser. They're going to be showing the movie Fireproof. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you have never been to this movie, if you've never seen this movie Fireproof, you need to come tonight. Those men who have seen it in the men's group, if your wife hasn't seen it, bring her. You're getting a 2-for-1 bonus here. When you come early. At about 5:30, they're going to start selling refreshments. They're going to have hot dogs. Yes, ma'am. And cookies and popcorn. All the things that you like to get at the refreshment stand at the movie, and I'll guarantee you it'll be a better price than there. And you get to support a vital ministry of this church. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. It's not often you hear anything about the youth. They don't come up here every month saying, give us, give us, give us. They're trying to do something to pay their own way to a Christian concert in August over in Litchfield. Is it Camp Lucon? Where's it going to be held at? Do you know? Okay. It's not important. It's somewhere over there. But they're going to have to put themselves up in a hotel, boys in one room, girls in another. There will be chaperones. But, hey, I was a kid once too. So, folks, if you can make it, please come out and support this vital ministry. If we don't show our young people that we love them and care enough to make an effort, someone else will. How do you think so many young people are drawn out of the church today? Because they may have served their entire life in the church, and then they go off to college, and their church family forgets about them. Let us show love to our young people. Let us support their efforts. Now, if you know for a fact, Brother Tim, I'm just not going to be able to do it, that's perfectly fine. Guess what? You're in luck. We're going to allow you to leave an offering before you leave today to help this vital ministry, to help these young people to achieve their goals, which is get enough money to go to the concert, to stay in these rooms, and that they can be blessed. And folks, I want to tell you something. You get young people at these Christian concerts, and a lot of people have the mindset, well, it's just a bunch of just loud rock and roll music. Well, first off, you can call it what you want, but it's Christian music. And if you've ever been to Ichthus or some of these other concerts, if you think there's ministry not being done there, you're mistaken. You need to go. Those who have been there, you know there's ministry being done. And I'll tell you what, if there's not, God will remove that anointing from off of that group. Now, they're bringing in various groups for New Song, and they're doing ministry. And I want our young people to be a part of it, because when they come back and they've been in the presence of God with 10,000 other screaming young people, all praising His name, yeah, they're going to be different. Just like when you used to hear the men going off to these huge conferences, and they come back and there's something different about them. Yeah, it's something. Let's support our young people. Again, 5:30, is that correct, ladies? Huh? Okay, 5:30 is refreshment time. Movie starts at 6. You say, well, I'm not sure I'm going to be here by then. Guess what? Come in late. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I really don't, Brother Tim, I don't have enough money to pay. Guess what? Come anyway. I'll say it right now. If you don't have any money to come and participate, guess what? I don't care. Come anyway. They'll let you in. They're not going to kick you out. They're not going to come in with a flashlight looking for tickets. Come on. Come enjoy the fellowship with your young people. There won't be a service tonight, so you can't say, well, I have to go to church. You are a church. That's where it's going to be. You're in the right place. Come on. Can you do that? All right, now I'm asking you, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you can say, Brother Tim, if I don't come tonight, I'll at least support them through an offering? Okay, we're getting some numbers. This is all good stuff. Now, how many of you are going to say, I'm going to try to be here? Good stuff. I like this. Is it for me? No, it's not for me. It's youth ministry here. We're going to save time here. Still going to try to come, but if not, then you're taken care of. Folks, come and support this ministry. Let us remember our pastors as they're traveling. Continue to pray for the leadership of this church and the guidance of this church. We are so blessed to have a facility like we do. Let us go ahead and stand. I would be absolutely... Yes, ma'am, go ahead. All right, you heard it there. There's a bucket back there for offerings, folks. But again, support them if you can. Come out and be a part of it. Yes, sir. Say again. Okay, church handouts in the back. We do have the... Is that bulletins for today? Okay. We were a little late in getting those out, but go ahead and grab one as you're going out the door. God bless you all. Folks, I'd be remiss if I closed this service without saying this. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know everybody here. You know every heart. You know every spirit. Lord, I'm asking you today, Father, if there's one person here who does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I'm asking you right now, put the unction in their heart just to raise their hand up. Is there anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Seeing no hands, we're going to go ahead and conclude this service. I hope that you will join us for our Wednesday night service at 6:30, Bible study. Hope that you're able to come and join us again next Sunday. God bless each and every one of you for coming out here. Heavenly Father, we ask you now as we conclude this service, Father, go with us. Help us not to focus on the storms of life, but help us, Lord, to focus upon you. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the abundant blessings which we take for granted. We ask you, Lord, to help us to recognize your hand in everything. For it's all in Jesus' name that we pray. Watch over us and protect us and keep us safe until next time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.